shall, based upon your confession of faith and as your task, it's my privilege to baptize you in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Let's give them a hand.
Good morning. What a blessing to begin our service with a three-generational baptism, huh? Want to also introduce Michelle's husband, who's here, Larry, and Grandma Carolyn is also here with us this morning, so welcome to you folks. If you haven't already done so, please sign the little attendance pan at the end of the pews and pass it on down for your neighbors down the row. If this is your first visit to Berry Christian Church, we want to say a special welcome to you, and we'd like to invite you to please visit with us at the back of the church following our service. We'll be back there shaking some hands. If you'd stop by and let us know this is your first visit, we'd be honored to share a small gift with you before you leave today. Please join us right after this service at noon for our September potluck lunch, which will be, of course, in the fellowship hall just below us here. The Pathways Sunday School class is taken care of, set up, and clean up for today. Remember, choir practice resumes this Wednesday, September the 11th at 7 o'clock here in the sanctuary. Our thanks this morning to Sam Barboza for leading and sharing her special music in Andrew's absence this morning. Sam has been with us before, so welcome back, Sam. Good to see you again. Please join us for the upcoming property work days and the turkey dinner planning meeting. Yes, I just said turkey dinner. So fall must be close around the corner. There's further details of those events in the bulletin announcement page. Please also read through the information in the bulletin to learn more about the shepherding teams, upcoming Christian Women's Fellowship events, and the Festival of Sharing. If you didn't notice when you walked in this morning, Gail and Barb are back there passing out your newest directories, pictorial directories. We had our pictures taken a number of months ago. Those directories are now ready, so please stop by and pick yours up. And I want to make a kind of a fun announcement now. Gail Gentry's niece, who is a book distributor, among other things, she's put together a book drive for the Jacobo family. The idea here is to purchase books for the Jacobo children that they've chosen from a rather large wish list of books, or you may also choose to purchase children's books for the kiddos in your own homes. Much of the proceeds from these sales will be donated back to the Jacobo family to help pay for their massive medical expenses as they continue to build medical bills from a number of cancer surgeries. There's a Facebook event that will soon be posted to the Berry Christian Facebook page. Please feel free to share that event on your own Facebook timeline or share it with friends that you have who might have young children who would enjoy some children's books. And feel free to share that with anybody that you might like to show that to. I'll also send out an email to our all-church distribution list in the very near future with instructions for ordering books if you wish to do so. Do we have any other announcements this morning? Yes. All right. Quilt raffle tickets available on the back table as well. Thank you so much. All right. Sam.
Praise the Lord. You servants of the Lord, praise his name. From the east to the west, praise the name of the Lord. The Lord rules over all nations. His glory is above the heavens. God's blessings to turn to a wisdom surpassing our own. The powers that oppress us now cease to distress us.
Thank you, Akir, for being our candlelighter this morning. May we bow in a word of prayer. We are privileged, O God, and grateful to gather this morning in the house of our Lord. We purposefully take time out from our weekly lives of work and school and family activities to seek spiritual nourishment and to fellowship with others of similar beliefs. Many of us come as family units and many of us come as individuals, but we know and we are grateful, O Lord, that we are all welcome here based on our common beliefs in our one true God and in Jesus Christ as our personal Lord and Savior. Loving God, we invite you into our hearts this morning and into our presence as we begin our worship together. In the name of our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Please take a few moments to greet those around you and welcome each other into worship this morning. Please be seated. We'd like to invite our kiddos to come up front for the children's sermon as we sing the first stanza of Tell Me the Stories of Jesus.
Good morning. Do you remember last week we talked about water and the crop walk, and I was telling you about that we raise money for people here in the United States and then also across country? I was looking up water verses. Of course, Google can tell you everything in the Bible, right? And so there's like 12 verses about water, and one of them was Isaiah 49:10. They will hunger nor thirst, nor will the desert heat or the sun beat down on them. He who has compassion on them will guide them and lead them beside the still water. And I thought about when I was over in Peru, we were in the desert, and tourists always like to go to the desert. Locals probably don't think it's as fun as we do. But so we went to the desert one day, and this young gal was walking across to give her brother lunch. And we looked down on her feet, and she had lost a sandal. And guess what she had on her feet? A water bottle. She had a sandal on one shoe and a water bottle on the other foot to use as a shoe. Now, we don't think of those things, but she had flattened it and put it on her foot and was walking with it. We really don't think of those things, do we? And have you ever thought about this? They don't have much water in certain countries. We could buy water in a store. For 78 cents, I bought this. Drinking water. We can buy our water. That's just crazy when you think people across the country don't have a lot of things like that. And I brought some statistics for you this week because we talked about using water. So to wash your face, it takes 1 gallon of water to wash your face. Take a bath, 40 gallons. Brushing your teeth, 2 gallons. Getting a drink, 1 gallon, because we leave the water running, right? Washing a car, 50 gallons of water. Washing dishes by hand, the people in your house are going to like this one, 10 gallons, or 15 to run the dishwasher. So see, there's a reason you can wash by hand. Doing a load of laundry, 30 gallons of water. Watering a lawn, what do you think? 300 gallons of water. I realized that when I thought I had pretty flowers one year until the water bill came. I don't plant a lot of things in my yard anymore. And flushing the toilet, 5 gallons. I'm not asking you to give up these things. I'm asking you to, when you run the faucet and when you run the water anywhere, to think of those people that don't have those luxuries. Some people have to walk across miles and miles and miles to get water. And they don't go to, like, the grocery store to get it. They have to go to, like, the river. And then it's not clean. They'll either carry it in big gallon buckets, or some people put it on a big 5 gallon bucket and carry it with a stick. Or they'll put it on top of their head and walk. And we talked about how far it is to walk a mile around the sanctuary, right? They walk about 3.5 miles just to get some water. So remember those statistics I gave you last week, that the United States, every person, an estimate, uses 176 gallons of water a day. And they use like 3 and 2 in some countries. So I just want you to think about that when you're running the water, how much we waste. I've started to do a few things in my house. I turn the water off a little bit more. I stuff a little bit more clothes in the washer. I now rinse my dishes in a little pan instead of letting the water run. So I'm anxious to see if my water bill is going to go down a little bit this next month. I'm just trying it. So let's pray, please. Dear God, we thank you for the things that we have here in the United States that we take for granted. We pray for those in the United States that do not have those things, in our own city that do not have those things. And we pray for the people across the country, the things that seem so simple to us and that are just such a luxury to them. We pray that funds from the crop walk will benefit those locally and globally so that we can make a difference in the world in your honor. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
As we have the privilege to go to God in prayer, a number of people in our midst to remember. We certainly want to remember Betty Donahue as she was admitted over to North Kansas City Hospital just last evening. We also remember Joan Casebolt, as she is in rehab now, recovering from ankle surgery. Dave Archer's brother, Joe, is in our prayers as he will be undergoing surgery this Thursday. We lift up Rayana Ralston. We remember in Ted Ferris's family, his son, Terry, Thesis, as he's anticipating knee surgery, and also Ted's daughter-in-law, Cheryl, wife of Chris, as she's anticipating a third hip surgery. We remember Ivy Jo Miller, and in Erica Miller's family, we remember her cousin, Michael Wells, dealing with significant concerns of cancer. We continue to remember Russell Stewart's mother, Dolores, and of course, Michelle Jacobo and her family continue to be in our prayers. We certainly also remember those striving to recover from Hurricane Dorian, and especially those who have lost family members in the midst of that storm. As we also remember that this Wednesday is the 18th anniversary of 9/11. May we bow our heads in prayer. Merciful and loving God, we are once again privileged to offer our praise and worship to you this Lord's Day morning. May the meditations of our hearts and our hymns of praise honor your holy name as we seek your Spirit's guidance. We realize that the last several days have been most challenging for multitudes of people in islands of the Bahamas and in many of the coastal states along our eastern seaboard. How difficult it is to endure torrential rain, wind, flooding, and the subsequent damage it brings. How difficult it is to seek out the barest of essentials while surrounded by mass devastation. As aid is rendered, grief for lost loved ones and property is shared, families and friends are reunited, and as communities strive to rebuild, we pray, O God, for the sustaining power of your Spirit as we give thanks for the blessing of the enduring labors of rescue personnel and the abundant gifts given. The disasters that fall upon us from natural and man-made means humble us and remind us, one and all, of how temporal and often fragile our existence can be. But through such tenuous times, may we all indeed find solace and comfort in the presence of your Spirit and in the support of one another. For this we pray in Christ's name, as we also recite the prayer Jesus teaches us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. And Kathy, we thank you for reading our scripture this morning. Thank you.
Good morning. Today's reading is from Luke chapter 10, verse 38-42 in your pew Bible number 948. Now as they went on their way, he entered a certain village where a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. She had a sister named Mary who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to what he was saying. But Martha was distracted by her many tasks, so she came to him and asked, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to do all the work by myself? Tell her then to help me." But the Lord answered her, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and distracted by many things. There is need of only one thing. Mary has chosen the better part, which will not be taken away from her."
and oh, my soul so weary. When troubles come and my heart burden be, then I am still and wait here in the silence until you come and sit a while with me. You raise me up so I can stand on mountains. You raise me up to walk on stormy seas. I am strong when I am on your shoulders. You raise me up to more than I can be.
The food items Jesus took from the Passover table to represent his sacrificed body and blood were the most basic and common food items accessible to one and all in the quest to sustain life. Bread, typically baked from cheap and accessible barley grain, provided a portable, long-lasting source of food that could sustain life anywhere. Wine, with a very weak alcohol content, was preferred over water, which was often contaminated. Such wine was also portable and long-lasting, and therefore also capable of sustaining life anywhere. Thus, as we partake of the wafer and the juice, symbolic of the bread and the wine that Jesus lifted up before his disciples, let us remember it represents Christ's spiritual blessing that sustains the hope of life eternal that we have in Jesus Christ. Our communion hymn this morning is number 429 as we sing stanzas 1 and 3 of You Satisfy the Hungry Heart.
satisfy the hungry heart with gift of finest wheat. Come give to us, O saving Lord, the bread of life to eat. With joyful lips we sing to you our praise and gratitude, that you should count us worthy, Lord, to share this heavenly food. You satisfy the hungry heart with gift of finest wheat. Come give to us, O saving Lord, the bread of life to eat. The mystery of your presence, Lord, no mortal tongue can tell. Satisfy the hungry heart with gift of finest wheat. Come give to us, O saving Lord, the bread of life to eat.
We're privileged this morning to share in the Lord's Supper and to also acknowledge that for Lori, Michelle, and Paige, this is their first communion, if you will, right after baptism, and we celebrate their presence here this morning with us. But as we all focus our attention on the Lord's table, we again remember those words given to us by the Apostle Paul when he said, "For I received from the Lord, I pass on the teaching to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, he took a piece of bread, gave a prayer of thanks, broke it, gave it to his disciples, and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in memory of me.' In the same way, after the supper, he took a cup, gave thanks to God, and gave it to them, and said, 'This cup is God's new covenant, sealed with my blood. Whenever you drink it, do so in memory of me.'" And this means that every time you eat this bread and drink from this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes again. May we bow our heads for a moment of prayer.
Let us pray. Dear Jesus, please bless these emblems as we gather at your table. May this meal serve as a reminder of our commitment to you and the love you share with us. May our lives today be to your honor and glory. Amen.
And we celebrate the fact that Lori, Michelle, and Paige, We recognize this is the first occasion of what you are striving to do as you have committed your life to Christ through not only your confession of faith, but now your time of baptism. So I first of all share with you a piece of bread from the loaf. Again, the body of Christ given to us for the forgiveness of sin. And in the same way, I present to you a chalice, a cup, God's new covenant, sealed with the blood of Christ. And it is my privilege to present to you, again, this is the symbol of the Christian church, the disciples of Christ, the chalice symbol. This is a little project from my workshop that I hope will give you something to remember this occasion. And again, for you, Lori, you see your name is on the back as well as the date to help you remember this. We will let you wash out the cup, though, if you want. But the cup and also your Bible and a baptism certificate for you, Lori.
Thank you.
And Michelle, the same for you. The cup of the covenant. And the chalice symbol, Bible, and certificate, and also, again, page for you. each of you. It truly has been our privilege today to celebrate with you not only your confession of faith and your baptism, but now this first act of dedication of your faith as Christian believers as you have chosen to share in the Lord's Supper. God bless each of you. Thank you.
Thank you.
I was waiting behind a car in traffic when I realized that the back glass of that SUV was advertising for a company called Caring Transitions. And then as I read the rest of it, I realized that it was a company that you can employ to help you downsize your belongings for your retirement years. It struck me as being interesting, if not rather odd, that we now have so many companies like Caring Transitions and, of course, 1-800-GOT-JUNK and others, similar companies, that we now spend money on getting rid of so many of the things that we previously spent so much hard money acquiring, right? You know, the scripture reminds us in Matthew chapter 6, verse 20, store up your riches for yourselves in heaven, where moths and rust cannot destroy and robbers cannot break in and steal. Your heart will always be where your riches are, right? With these thoughts in mind, we receive our offering this morning as we are led in a word of prayer by Kathy.
Heavenly Father, as we come today offering a portion of our resources, may we give generously with joy and love. And may we be ever mindful of the many blessings in our lives and the abundant love which you give. May we seek your guidance in the use of these wise, in the wise use of these resources. Amen.
Lord God, we pray this offering is used for your purposes now and always. In the name of Christ, we give thanks. Amen. Please be seated. Trivia question before we have a word of prayer for today. How many daily meals did people have in Bible times? How many meals? 4, 2, 3, huh? What would you guess? Okay, I got a 2 here. 2, all right. Okay, right. The actual answer is, in fact, 2. Aren't you glad you didn't live in Bible times? Right? Let's have a word of prayer. Gracious and holy God, we give thanks for the privilege to be in your house, to understand your word better, that it indeed helps us to live lives that can bring glory to your kingdom through our endeavors, and indeed through our worship of you day by day. In the name of Christ, we give thanks. Amen. Truth of the matter is that 3 meals a day did not actually come about until the 1700s, and that noontime was actually a period of time in small towns and in cities where tradespeople would actually gather together in order to exchange information and to make business transactions with one another. And so the idea of, hey, let's also break bread while we're in the midst of this also became a part of that concept. Even in biblical times, it was a rare occasion that people would share in a meal around noontime. And if they did, it would often be out in the fields, say like in the midst of a harvest, and would indeed be a rather simple meal. Most people in the time of Jesus only ate two meals a day. Breakfast did not take a lot of preparation. It's kind of like a granola kind of thing. You know, bread, olives, maybe a small onion and some fruits. You didn't warm up or cook up anything. The supper was the main meal of the day, eaten by all family members as they gathered together in that cooler time of the day. And after all the work was finished, it was a time when people could gather and actually relax and hopefully enjoy each other's friendship and fellowship, or catch up on the gossip of the day, I guess, right? It often consisted of bread, vegetables, maybe a porridge or a stew of some sort, but often not including meat. Only the wealthy ate meat for a regular evening meal. Meat was typically only eaten on special occasions when guests were present, like at a wedding, birthday, or religious festival, for example, like the Passover event, when, of course, we know the sacrificial lamb was a part of that meal, remember? There was no kitchen in this time period. The evening meal was prepared outside with the aid of an open clay oven. If a family was wealthy enough and there were enough generations within the family would live in what would be like a compound of several buildings kind of built around one another with a central courtyard in the middle that was outdoors. The oven and all the cooking utensils were there in that courtyard if, in fact, you could afford it. The meal was served in that large open courtyard or in the largest room of the house, or in fact many families only had one big room anyway, and so that's where it'd be served. People reclined on mats that circled around a circular mat or a piece of circular leather laid out on the floor, and the people leaned on their left elbow and ate with their right hand. And the older I get, the whole idea of leaning on the floor, I think my meals would be real short. Wouldn't yours? Now, Martha, her sister Mary, and their brother Lazarus lived together in Bethany, a small community only a couple of miles southeast of the temple in Jerusalem. Their house was significant enough that they could afford to welcome Jesus and the disciples into their midst, but it was obviously not wealthy enough that they had no servants. They were not wealthy enough to have servants. And we know that Jesus and his disciples found solace there in this location in Bethany. And it is likely an evening meal that Jesus and his disciples had been invited to share. As everyone was gathered, Martha was busy making preparations for that largest meal of the day. But she became quite frustrated as she found herself doing all the tasks, how? Solo. Her sister Mary was so enthralled by what she experienced from Jesus' persona and teachings that she sat down and listened, along with the disciples and what other people may have gathered. Again, this is probably, in this situation, inside the context of one large room. But who's outside making all the preparations? Martha. And in her exasperation, Martha sought to enlist the support of Jesus as she declares in Luke chapter 10, the 40th verse, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Therefore, tell her to help me." Now,
Isn't this interesting? Martha doesn't go to Mary. Martha, we don't even see Martha giving Mary the evil eye. What do we see? Martha goes to the source of greatest power in the room. She goes straight to Jesus and says, Jesus, doesn't it bother you that my sister right here is not helping me? Do you think you could have had the courage to do what Martha did in that moment? Would you go to Jesus and tell Jesus what to do? You know, I asked that question in the early service, and one of our church members said, well, he was just the rabbi. And I said, yeah, you're right. That's a good point, because here you're talking about like the village pastor. And the village pastor is being told to do something, right? And being the village pastor, I know what that feels like, right? People think they can go to the village pastor and say, would you straighten this out for us, for me? That's exactly what Martha is doing. In the midst of her exasperation, she wants things done. And hates it when she feels like she's stuck with the task all her own. You know, I was talking with my son Jonathan a few days back. We were talking about, you know, acquiring a higher education degrees as he's trying to wrap up this master's degree of his. And we both agreed that we do not like group projects. Because when you're in class and you got to do a group project, what happens? One or two people do all the work, and then the other people who know you're the hardworking person sit back and just coast because they know they're going to get the same grade anyway, right? And you'd always be the one who had to do the hard work. Nobody likes group projects, certainly not a Martha. Mary's might, but not Martha's. Cooking that evening meal was a lot of hard labor. All of this tasking was very difficult, as you always had to be down on the ground because everything was on the ground. You'd be working away, and then you have to get up, and you'd have to take stuff to someplace else. You'd have to get back down on the ground. So either on your knees or you're sitting down on the ground. You got up and down, and as some of us understand, the whole notion of getting up and down becomes more and more what difficult. Thankfully, we understand that Martha, Mary, and Lazarus were probably relatively young. But Martha was the oldest of the three siblings. A lot of work. How would you feel? And yet, it's no wonder Martha tried to exact the greatest leverage that she possibly could. But how does Jesus respond? Martha, Martha, you're worried and troubled over so many things, but just one is needed. Mary has chosen the right thing, and it will not be taken away from her. Wow. If you were Martha, how would you have responded? What are you to do with that? Does that mean anybody's helping you? No. Is the work getting done? No. Who's still going to have to do the work? Martha, it seems, right? We don't know what really happened. I've often wondered, do you think any of the disciples would have thought, maybe we need to get up and help? Men? Are you kidding? Football game going on this afternoon, ladies. Who's going to be doing all the prep work? Who's going to be sitting watching play-by-play? You know. But you know, Jesus is also correct, because in the end, truth of the matter is, Jesus knew his time was short. He knew I only had so much time to be present. And he knew he needed to convey to his followers the most he could about the spiritual matters, which were most indeed important. And so that's the real message of the story, is it not? That yet we know our labors one day will all turn to dust and be of inconsequential significance. But our worship and praise and adoration of God truly must be the most significant aspect of our existence. The scriptures tell us in John chapter 4, verse 23, but the hour is coming and is now here when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for the Father is seeking such people to worship him. And the text out on the sign today, Psalm 150, verse 6, the sign simply says, praise the Lord. The text says, praise the Lord, all living creatures, praise the Lord. And what is unique is that it is actually the very last words of all the Psalms. Praise the Lord. That's what we really ought to be doing. Even if we're in the midst of our work, let us be about praise to God. Do you know Christ? If he's not your Lord and Savior, today's that day for you to come forward and accept Christ in a way I know your life can be transformed. And maybe today is that day you need to come forward and become a part of our fellowship as we turn now to the hymn of invitation number 586, Open My Eyes That I May See. 586 stanzas 1 and 3, please. Thank you for being in the Lord's house this morning. We do want to remind you that we do have the fellowship lunch in the basement here just below us. So hope that you'll stay. I bet you that somebody will have their phone or something on to kind of help you get the play-by-play as the football game goes on. And you'll probably finish up before the game's over with anyway. But hope you'll join us. May we bow our heads in prayer. Guide us, God, as we journey forward in ways that we truly may be about your Spirit's work, as we offer praise to your holy name day by day. It's in the name of Christ we give thanks as we journey forward. Amen.
Service free.